Have your Bibles, the book of Exodus. I'm in Exodus chapter number 12. I'm in Exodus chapter number 12. Verse number 13. Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this time. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the Word of God. I ask you to help us this morning to make us an able minister of the Word of God, to open up our hearts and our ears that we might hear and receive the Word, that it would find good ground to grow on, and it might bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. We just thank you now for your blessings and ask you to help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. There's not many places in Scripture that illustrate the gospel truth of the need of the blood more than this particular passage of Scripture, because it speaks of salvation by the blood. Salvation by the blood. Israel in bondage, needing deliverance from Egypt. And of course, we know the story. The plagues have come, and one by one, and Pharaoh has ultimately refused to let God's people go. I'll tell you what sin will do. Buddy, it'll fight tooth and toenail. And the old devil trying to keep folks in bondage, to keep them bound, to keep us where it can have its grips upon us. And Pharaoh, he didn't want to let them go. You know, he spoke a few times and talked to him about, you know, we might can make a few concessions here or there, but we don't want to just let them be free. Well, you know, that's the world. You know, well, we can make a few concessions here or there, but they don't want them to be free. But I tell you what God wants. God wants us to be free. Amen. God wants us to be free. He created man in the garden, and Adam and Eve lost out on that liberty and that freedom. But amen, Jesus came to buy it back, to redeem us. And so, this last plague's a coming. The death of the firstborn was coming. The plague. And the Bible tells us that all, A-L-L, have what? Sinned. And come short of the glory of God. Amen. The plague. Sin. I mean, we hear, what, it was 2020, I think, when COVID first kind of broke out, that we started hearing and hearing different things and comparisons to different things that happened in history and times when certain things happened that they actually called the plague. Well, amen, boy, we still got a plague among us today. Sin. And men, women, boys, and girls are drowned and suffocating, dying because of this plague of sin. And here, the nation of Israel, they're in bondage. And there's this one last plague. He's going to deal with it once and for all. Amen. And so he gives them instructions as to what to do. Amen. They were to take that lamb, which is a type of Christ. And they were to slay the lamb and to take that blood and that some hyssop and to take and sprinkle it and put it upon the doorpost of that home of their residence, which was a personal thing. And amen, we'll mention that a little bit more in a minute. But he said that blood's going to be for a token. It's going to be a sign, a symbol. When he passes through the land, amen, he's going to be looking for that symbol, for that token, for that blood. And you can escape the plague of sin. You can escape this judgment that's coming, but you can only escape it by the blood. By the blood. And so we look here and we see in this verse, we see the prominence of the blood. It says the blood. The blood is the prominent theme of this entire text. It's the prominent theme when we talk about salvation. It's emphasized in the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. The blood. And the blood of Christ. The Bible tells us this in the book of Leviticus chapter number 17. In verse number 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." You see, the sinner deserves to die. But instead of the sinner dying, the lamb dies. The beast dies. The animal dies. And the life of the sinner is spared, and the blood of the sacrifice is poured out upon the altar. Which, amen, is a type of Christ. Because instead of me dying, instead of you dying for my sins, for your sins, Christ did. He died for our sins. He took our place. And this is what's taking place here in Leviticus 17 and 11. The sacrifice is dying so that the sinner might live. Because the life is in the blood. The New Testament even gives us fair warning that without the shedding of blood, that there is no remission. We live in a dangerous world in more ways than one. There is physical violence that's more than seems it's ever been, and we wonder, what in the world has man lost? Have they just lost their mind? But you've got it. And this morning we sang a lot of songs that spoke about the blood. And amen, our hymn books, it's still in there. But you know what? They write some hymn books today, they take it out. They remove it. That don't sound good. Some have dubbed it Christianity a slaughterhouse religion. But see, God said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. It's necessary. Somebody has got to pay. What do you pay with? Amen. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Amen. We have to be redeemed, amen, with a life. Somebody had to take our place. Blood had to be shed. Amen, amen. There for the sacrifice for that sinner and that blood. And God wanted them to recognize and realize that that blood of that innocent animal died so that you could live. It lost its life. Amen. And so we see all throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we see the prominence of the blood. And we see it's Hebrews 9 and 22 that speaks of without the shedding of blood that there is no remission for sin. There's no remission for sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, last part of that verse tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I mean, it cleanses us. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty bad about when I'm eating. I might get wind up with a little bit of stain, you know. We went somewhere just the other night. We ate,
And we left, and when we left and we got in the car, I looked down and I said, "Don't you look here, I ain't got nothing on my shirt." And see, my question usually is this, "Well, can you get this out?" I mean, because you know, there's some stains you get in that just don't come out. And there's some material, some clothes that it's harder to get stains out than others. I just wear them and get the stain in them, and they either steal a, you know, they either steal a good casual shirt or they a work shirt. That's what happens to them, you know. But here's the thing. There's a lot of people trying a lot of things to get sin out, but they can't find anything quite that works. Because only the blood of Christ is able to cleanse us from all sin. Amen. That's what cleanses us from sin, is the blood of Christ. So it must be prominent. I mean, it must be set forth as the main thing, because without it, there's no forgiveness. But amen, we also see the protection here of the blood. Because he said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen, we sing that in a song. I'll pass over you when I see the blood. He didn't say that he was going to check. When I look and when I see how your bank account is, I'll decide whether or not I'm going to pass over you. If you come from the royal family and what your family name was and your heritage and all that, I'll pass up. I'm going to check and see what kind of degree that you got, and I'll pass. I want to see what kind of job that you got, and depending on what, you know, what kind of job. That's not what he said. None of that was what he was looking for. He said, when I see the blood, the protection from the judgment of God is not our good works. It's not our name. Amen. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you. Now when God saves us, yes, he's created us. He saved us to good works. And oh, when God saves us, boy, we ought to be willing and ready to do everything that God would have us to do. I mean, a fellow told me just yesterday, he said, well, he said, God speak to me. He said, I tried doing it. He said, I've learned. I need to just go ahead and do it. He said, there ain't no need waiting around. He said, I need to do it now. So we need to obey God, but what God's looking for is the same thing that he was looking for that night. He was looking for the blood. What matters is the fact that was the blood applied to the doorpost. Amen. Had the command of God been obeyed and had the blood been applied? Because we've already mentioned it, but it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, where it speaks that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's what it cost. We talk about the salvation. It's free. Amen. It's free for us, but amen, it cost Christ His life. Amen. He paid the ultimate price for us. He paid. And so the protection of the blood. You know, I can't think of the name of it right now, y'all, but I'll describe it. Y'all know the song that talks about the blood, about it won't just wash away. Because I think it was there in about that second verse that talked about that. And it kind of pictured it from the standpoint of the firstborn son. He done heard the rumor of what was going on. And he was a little bit worried when the angel passed over that night, because he knew he was the firstborn, and he had some questions to his daddy about what was going to take place. But his daddy assured him that the blood had been applied, and that he was safe, that he was all right, because, amen, the blood had been applied. The question for us is, are we under the protection of the blood of Christ? Are we under the protection of the blood of Christ? Because it provides a protection. It's the prominent thing, and it provides for us a protection. But also, in this verse, we see the place We see the place of that blood. And see, here's the thing, God help us, we've heard this. It's not, did Grandma and Grandpa have it applied? Grandma and Grandpa may already be gone on. Amen. Enjoying glory. You know, sometimes we hear about it in elections that certain people, when they get elected, we say, well, they just rode the coattails of somebody else to get in to where they're at. Well, amen. Ain't nobody riding anybody's coattails to get into heaven. The place of the blood, is it applied to you? If it's applied to your house. I mean, it wasn't good enough if, you know, if let's just say 75% of the neighborhood had it applied, then well, everybody will be all right. Well, those 75% that had it applied is going to be all right, but the other 25 is in danger of judgment. It's a coming. Because it's not about what others are doing, it's about what we have done. Not what the world has done with Jesus, but what have I done with Jesus? Is the blood been applied to my heart, to my life? Amen. Have I made Him my Lord and Savior? Because, amen, just because most of my folks around me, you know, and I want to be, you know, I'm good feller, good folk, but amen, that's not what saves us. I've talked to many a person. And I said, well, I just don't see things like you do. I'm good as the next feller seem like me. None of us is good enough to get to heaven. Amen. On our own. We can't make it. It don't work that way. Because we've all sinned. And I mean, how many sins does it take? Just one. Just one. You know, He gave us the law, and amen, He said, if you want to get to heaven by the law, He said, just make sure you keep every bit of it. Don't you break in one point. Not because He said, if you break one point, you're guilty of it all. Amen. And you know how many people has broken at least one point? Everyone that's ever been born except for Jesus. Amen. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. That can't be said about anybody else in the universe. And amen, so nobody's going by the way of the law, because by the works of the law, you know how many's going to be justified? Zero. But amen, because of grace. Boy, it's what we mentioned this morning about that little cartoon in the family circle. That little boy leaned there and asked his mom when they were singing. Amen, he asked her, what made grace so amazing? Now, he thought grace maybe was a person. He won't know why she was so amazing. But amen, we read some scripture, why it's amazing, because where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And so we see the place. It's got to be personal. But then, here in this verse, we see the power of the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. No power is stronger, is greater than the power of the blood of Christ. Here, in this case, in this instance, what did it do? It held back the divine judgment of God. The blood, amen, that was applied, it saved them, and it was powerful enough that it saved from the judgment. And when the whole land began to cry where the blood was not applied, the cry went out because there was not a house in the land where there was not one that was dead. But amen, the power of the blood. Amen, we just sang the song. There's power, power. Wonder-working power in the blood of Christ. It saves. Amen, it takes old wretched sinners and washes them and cleans them up, and it can change them and turn them completely around and make them fit for the kingdom of God. Because they've been washed in the blood of Christ. The power, amen, that's in the blood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10.
and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If they wanted to be delivered from the wrath that was coming in Egypt, there was instructions given. The lamb's got to die. The blood's got to be spilled. And you've got to take of that blood and you've got to apply it to your house. Amen. Personally, it's got to be you. But when you do, when you apply the blood, and when I pass through the land, when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. Amen. Oh, preacher, you just don't know what I've been. You just don't know how mean I've been. You don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't. But God does. He saw you while you was doing it. And Christ still died for you. Amen. He still died on the cross, and He said, amen, if we'll come, He said, when I'm passing by, He said, I'm not going to be looking for what you have done in the past. I'm going to be looking to see if the blood's been applied. And if the blood's been applied, He said, I'll pass over you. Oh boy, are we saved by the blood this morning? Talking about something to be thankful for. Because we've been saved. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. The old enemy's looking to destroy this morning, but amen, God's got a remedy. If you'll stand with us this morning, the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning while we wait just a minute. This morning, if you have a need, if you have a prayer need, I pray you come. While we wait just a minute, if you have a need, you come.